If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
TheRightStuff.biz. Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on TheRightStuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, TheRightStuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega-donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to TheRightStuff.biz/paywall. And follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Need a mug with a better hashtag than this. How about one that says, I don't know, something edgier. Anyway, it's the Daily Show 1101.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
The Jewish apocalypse.
Week two of the downfall of Israel. And supposed pro-white commentators failing to cheer for it. Anyway, but that's not us. We're cheering for
it. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about here. First of all, the Gaza hospital bombing. Objectively, that was Israel.
Sure.
Now,
also, can I just, before you go any further, I just read something in a chat before I walked down the stairs. It was Israeli foreign minister on X, formerly Twitter. He says...
The platform formerly known as Twitter.
The platform that would formerly load reliably.
That formerly actually...
He said the Israeli foreign minister is quoted as saying, at the end of this war, not only will Hamas no longer be in Gaza, but the territory of Gaza will be reduced. And it's like, to rubble? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's what that means.
These are the
reduced
plans
is here, right? If you ever read books, one real quick, what if you ever read books about like ancient times or medieval times and military campaigns? They often talk about how like when an army lays siege to a city, they reduce it. That's like one of the like, and when they win, that's what's called, they've reduced it. That's what they use. It's like, oh yeah, the Greeks, like the Athenians, when they laid siege to Thebes in 7 months, they reduced it. So, oh, all right. So that means they what? That means they laid siege and destroyed it and killed all the people. Oh yeah, that's what that means. That's what that means.
Can
yeah,
you
anyway,
ever,
pressing forward.
Did the newspapers in the United States, like at the end of World War II, did they mention like, oh my God, it's explosions over Hiroshima, Nagasaki?
It's explosions.
These explosions.
There was an explosion.
There was an explosion
in Japan.
What happened? Japan had two explosions.
There was explosions. Let's talk about this in the most passive voice way possible.
It's an explosion. We don't know what happened.
The National Review even said that. They were like, a hospital explodes. So yeah, because that just happens. Right? So what's it all like all those oxygen tanks they have for the elderly people there? They're just like, oh, blood just exploded. Someone was smoking in the oxygen tank
these
room.
These two winners right here.
Someone lit up a cigarette.
I'm going to have to, let's see, window capture. Brave. Oh, there we go. There's Bibi and Biden. Bibi and Bidet. Oh, and Mike's not on screen.
Bidet.
Yeah, there was like a MAGA Twitter account calling him Bidet that I was reading.
That's actually somewhat funny.
Joe Bidet. I was having a good laugh at that.
But Biden basically was up there. He's like, let me do the impression. I can't do it, but I'll do it. The terrible explosion in the hospital. But, it looks like it was the other guy, not you.
He just keeps saying, don't. Don't. I'm like, are you begging or are you telling people don't? Like, which was it? It almost comes off like a beg.
Well, because so, like, they're writing those speeches to make it like he's making a forceful, he's like being like, don't. Like the way that's supposed to be phrased, he's like, for those that would interfere in this conflict, I have one word, don't. And it's supposed to be like an ominous thing, but he's like a doddering old fool. Yeah. So he's like, I have one word, don't.
No, please.
Now, where's
please
the ice
don't.
Cream, Jack?
Yeah, right.
I got one free word for you, Jack.
I'm going to need another, is the IDF here? I'm going to need another adult diaper. I need a replacement.
Yeah, that's why Joe Biden actually went there.
So I have
the
to,
IDF
so,
needs to replenish him with adult diapers.
So Alex sent me this article just now while you were talking about that from the Wall Street Journal. Israel tries to back up claims that it didn't attack Gaza hospital. And when is it?
Yeah,
when is this published? Is that this morning?
Again,
October 18th, 6:15
in the morning. It's so bad.
Somebody was up all night writing that. 6:15 a.m. it was posted. Israel on Wednesday offered what it said was proof that it wasn't responsible for the deadly explosion at the Gaza hospital. Again, not explosion. It's an airstrike.
Explosion.
It was an airstrike.
Well, yeah. And I want to be clear real quick. Now, last night on Strike and Mike, we showed, and I could get the video for this show, but it was also on Strike and Mike. We showed the airstrike. And the cell phone video that was showing it had been geolocated and verified by the New York Times.
Yeah.
And the video I showed was from the New York Times website. If you're telling me Palestinians have rockets and bombs that can do that, the fucking Jews would be destroyed already. Okay.
No, because I think it was the bidet guy was actually saying that, like, he was accusing the New York Times of lying because they're liberal, blaming the Israelis for doing this. It's because they're liberal.
Let's see here.
There has been some of that because the New York Times
shared
actually
a photo of the burned out parking lot, saying there was no crater on the site of the blast.
Yeah, you know why?
There had been an aerial strike. I guess in this guy's world, airbursting munitions just don't exist.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know why? Because you actually kill more people with an airburst. Yeah. Because none of the explosion is absorbed by the ground. It's all absorbed by the human beings.
What a precarious position to find yourself in. You need to like strike terror in the hearts of the people that you're trying to dominate, but you also need to pretend you're not doing that to the outside world because you're just going to lose like whatever remaining support you have. I don't envy you, Joes. You have to keep playing this game. But it's amazing to watch the U.S. media kick into action. I actually can't believe the New York Times did that. And I'm wondering, like, did they pull back from that, or are they just trying to be like, we don't want to do another Judith McMiller here?
I was surprised, too, because I think really, though, now that I reflect on it, after it's been a little bit of a day, maybe not quite a day since this happened, I was out grocery shopping. And this happened. I got the message. Striker's like, you just blew up a hospital. It killed 1,000 people. And I was like, holy shit. So I looked at the New York Times, and their headline was, Israel strikes hospital killing 500, Palestinians say.
Ah.
Now, that Palestinians say is equivocating, right?
Yes,
but
of course.
The problem is that's why they're going to be like lunatic, crazy Jews who are going to be like, no one reads anything. No one's reading the Palestinians say, right? But I was like, no, a lot of people are, and that actually immediately takes away from the power of what they're saying.
That's the permission. That's the permission granted.
And in a way, though, what they're doing, though, with that is they're signaling to the Jews, to the Israelis, okay, you're going to need to come up with a story pretty quick. You're going to need to come up with a story pretty quick.
Oh, geez, and then you know, there are a whole bunch of Hamas rockets flying by at the moment. One of them fell.
Yeah. And then,
see, the explosion was worse because the propellant was still mostly present within the missile, and then the exploding propellant like made it like an atom bomb. Yeah,
there's an ammunition store. There's an ammunition cache underneath the hospital. That's why there was one explosion and not two.
Well, dude, that guy Just Joe was saying on Telegram that like the Jews are essentially accusing the Palestinians of being Wile E. Coyote.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. Was very good.
Which is pretty good. I mean, not to laugh, but it's, you know, here we are, right?
Well, I put a stupid post on Telegram. I was like, so the Iranians were like, okay, Hamas, we've developed this super cool, powerful missile for you. It's like nothing you've ever had before. But, you know,
unfortunately,
be careful.
I can't repost your post, but yeah.
Because am I censored? Am I censored?
No, you just have your channel set that people can't repost your shit. Maybe you didn't know that. I don't know. Maybe I'm informed. No, I would have reposted that one. I tried to, and it was like, this channel does not allow repost. And I was like, oh, all right. I guess he doesn't want
I wonder where that
Telegram clout.
I wonder how you do that.
You're probably better off, honestly. Telegram Cloud is basically like the like a poison pill. Like it doesn't really.
I only want when I have a good joke. I want it out there. Like at least steal it. I was like, the Iranians would be like, yeah, we developed this super cool missile. It's more powerful than anything you've ever had. But be careful. One false move and it guaranteed to hit one of your own hospitals. You know, imagine like developing a weapon. Like you have
to
got
to be.
Careful
load
when you're setting
wrong.
One false move and it hits a vital target of on your own side. Like, it makes sense. That's what happens. What a coincidence.
Additionally, it's so clear.
It's a coincidence missile. That's what it was. They were hit by a coincidence missile.
Yeah. That video of the missile hit and the somebody posted, I don't know if it was Palestinians or just their fans or whatever. They compared that to a video of a test of such munitions in America, and the sound of the incoming bomb and the explosion. It's the signature is identical. It's practically identical. Like there's no question here. Okay,
no.
There is no question here. The Jews are putting out FUD. The other thing is what they're doing is here's the other thing they do. Jews love doing this, and they did it with the dead babies thing too. They actually at this point. Putting out just enough FUD, and in a way, they almost put out
dumb
stories on purpose.
Then they go like this, and they walk away. Anti-Semitic if you don't believe us. And it's the Holocaust all over again.
They basically put out – so the story here is actually – again, it's like because just saying straight up it was the Palestinians is dumb. So what they do is they put out enough FUD to make it be like people be like, we don't actually know. And then they're going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
And then the people who are commentators in Jew-controlled areas are going to be expected to just say that. And all the U.S. media is doing that. Why doesn't the New York Times, who published that video, which has been geolocated and verified to have not been some other strike, not been in some other bombing, be this bombing, okay? To be this bombing. That the timestamp, the geolocation on that video has been verified. Why don't they get a munitions expert, which I'm sure they've got plenty of contacts, plenty of sources from people in the military that a munitions expert can come weigh in and be like, here's a video, Mr. U.S. military munitions expert. Can you tell us?
It's also what just kind like of everyone you use your common sense. Everyone just use your common sense.
Yeah.
A vital target, a vital civilian target in the enemy area was struck, causing mass casualties. At a time, it's like at a time when the Zionist entity was waffling on going in on the ground because they know they can't take it. It just so happens that this happened,
and
you're supposed to sit there and believe, like, geez, I think the other guy, I think this was friendly fire. Like, no, this is a massive demoralizing, antagonizing strike that Israel did. It's a war crime, and we know exactly who did it. And this is all just bullshit. The only people saying that, like, Hamas or Islamic Jihad did it are Israelis. Even Biden
no one that believes it.
No, Biden says, Biden says, deeply saddened and outraged by the explosion. Based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team. But there's a lot of people out there not sure. So we've got to overcome a lot of things. Like, yeah, you got to overcome the fact that Israel did it.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to
overcome.
You got to
overcome the fact that you're sitting there on stage with, like, a mass murdering war criminal. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to overcome.
That's who you work for.
That's your boss. You have to overcome the fact that you are sitting there basically granting moral legitimacy.
You're sitting next to Trump's boss being like, you got it, boss. I'm just like you.
Yeah. And nobody believes it. This is the thing to understand. Even people repeating this, like the New York Times doesn't believe this wasn't the Jews. The press doesn't believe this wasn't the Jews. CNN doesn't believe it wasn't the Jews. No one in Israel believes it wasn't them.
Right. I mean,
nobody in the American political establishment believes it was a Palestinian.
The Wall Street Journal
Wall
Street Journal itself says that nobody believes it. I mean, Israel tries to back up claims it didn't attack Gaza hospital. I mean, that is so.
Right.
That's even a little. That's not even passive. That's even like you're leaning towards like Israel did this, right?
Wall Street Journal's actually been kind of better on this than the New York Times.
I mean, the article's still terrible because they won't say that, but it's like, yeah, it's not working. And this insults our.
Well, nobody can say it.
Right.
Nobody can say it. And I'll say this also. The only people, there's maybe one subset of people that will believe this. And that subset of people is people over 65 that are Christian Zionists in the United States. people over 65.
They're just genocidal anyway. They're just genocidal Muslim haters. Like, they're sociopathic.
Yeah, they're senile. They're crazy. They're lunatics. They have never formed a political opinion outside of what has been screamed at them by Fox News or Clear Channel Radio, and they just don't know anything. But the other problem is, for Israel, those people really don't have any political power. They're just impotent losers. And so the only people that are going to believe – this is a big problem for Israel eventually. Like, the only people that are going to believe you're not committing mass murder and war crimes don't have any political power. Now, there are people with political power that understand they have to just go along with you, but they don't believe you didn't do it. Right? And eventually, right. You know, we have 27% – only 27% of people under 30 in America, and only 44% of people under 50 – believe that what Israel is doing is justified. So you have to be older than 50 to get in America to get more than half of people supporting Israel.
Yeah.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the content? I don't know if I could do that. And I would say to myself, man, this SvenPie guy is making good content. I love this. I can't take any more free riding. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I'm SvenPie's top guy. What am I going to do? Seven Sun chose me to get a subscription. Whoa, Sven needs me? Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to bat for you, Sven. I'm going to therightstuff.biz/paywall, Sven.
Yeah, now me and James Carlson did a whole thing on that,
yeah.
About looking at Israeli support among age demographics, and it's all like exclusively yeah. baby boomers.
This is because of the increasing non-whiteness of the younger generation. That might be part of it. But with whites, it's also true because I'm in the demographic. We are all in the demographic of people who don't support it by more than half. And people, when you're looking at Xers, when you're looking at that, 49? I mean, the breakdown I saw was from Fox or something like that, where they did a poll on this, where the Xers, like 49 to like 30. Whatever was the thing, right? That's a very largely white age group of people of that age, like 30 something to 49, mm-hmm. which is the age group we're on, the extra demographic. That's very white. And those, even they're not, they're like 44%, only 44% approve of Israel. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing that many approve, but
yeah,
well, here we are.
We're working.
It's still
look at the situation we're working from. We're working back from. I mean, what was that number? 15 years. What was that number during the turn? 2000 was it? 2001 Intifada? 2003 Intifada? I can't remember.
Yeah, at least fucked up. Well, right now 2000. We have 81% of people 65 and up are supporting Israel in America. Where that goes down, you know, it goes progressively down. But it's very positive to see that once they hit that threshold of 50, they can't get over 50%. They can't get over 50% supporting Israel once you go younger than 50 years old. That's the most recent polling that they've got. So, I mean, the people that support Israel in America are effectively dying and they're irrelevant politically and they're dying. So that's a big problem for Jews. And they're also the only people that are going to believe this FUD. No one else believes it. What I was saying is you can tell they don't believe it because of the way they talk about it. Like that Pajit woman who is a spokesperson for the Department of Defense, reporters started asking her about this yesterday. And she just was like, well, we don't have any intelligence on that. We can't answer it. And it's like, well, okay, so tomorrow we'll ask you again. And what are you going to say? Well, they're going to say intelligence says this. And, you know, they concocted some phony phone call between two Gaza guys. It's like, oh, this was definitely us. Wow, what a terrible thing we did. And it's like they produced that suddenly. I'm like, oh, get out of here. Just stop it. Like that no one believes that. Like that is such non-evidence. It's just so fake. It's just So the thing is, when you're lying and everyone knows you're lying and the people that you are putting people in a position because they have to say something publicly and they know what they're saying is a lie. They're willing to say it because they know they have to support you and they can't possibly defend what you've done. So they lie and they know they lie and everyone knows that they know they're lying and everyone knows it's a big lie. It's just that we have to proceed because we can't stop supporting Israel because like we're afraid they'll ruin our careers or kill us or destroy our families or whatever they'll do if we stop supporting them.
They'll do all of that.
Yeah, and they'll do all of that. They'll do all of that. So again, this is a hostage situation. Like this fucking little country has everybody held hostage. Yep. And like, they, I mean, on some level, how many of these politicians that are just going to continue to support them are just fucking hostages? You know, they might be hostages of their own greed and avarice. Like, oh, I won't have my mansion, you know, and my huge rich lifestyle if I don't support these people. And I'm not willing to give that up for the case of, you know, the fact that they're murdering people in hospitals. But still, everybody's held hostage. Like, I was briefly thinking, well, this is so bad and so obvious that it was the Jews that maybe Biden isn't going to be able to go over there. No, he went. He went. He went. Now, of course, they were supposed to have talks in Jordan. And that's off. The Jordanians canceled it. But of course, Jordan is lucky if their own citizens don't burn down their whole fucking country over this shit.
There have been riots all over the world all night long, attacking Israeli and American embassies. Yep. Yeah, I think there's some crazy shit going on with.
Sorry.
There's some crazy shit going on with Turkey. Like suddenly the Turks are getting good on the Israeli issue.
Don't trust them.
Sort of. I know, but it's like usually they're just like sucking Jew NATO dick because they wanted NATO so bad. But they're kind of like this atrocity has swayed them to go towards the right direction. And I saw a video of like Turk roaches like trying to get into a U.S. military base, which let's be honest would probably end very badly for them. Our guys are probably standing around like, okay, Turk roaches, just turn around. Like, you know. Not being able to get past the fences.
I think that they did go after the embassy. I think embassies are in
trouble. Like, I know I saw a video of, like, you know, because you go to these embassies and the security guards are of that.
They're Marines.
Well, there's also security that are just of the local nationality.
Yes.
So their own people are like, well, dude, what are you doing? You're protecting
That's like
these,
the first layer of security. Yeah. But the
Marines
but
are fine.
Eventually, like,
people.
The embassy is guarded by Marines.
Right.
Embassies are guarded by Marines.
Right.
But eventually, it's like, are you just going to fire on a bunch of civilians in a foreign country? Like, probably.
Well, I'm just like, are you guys just going to stand around and yell at the embassy? Like, let's get something done here. Like, I'm rooting for something to happen, but.
Well, I'm rooting for them to burn down the embassy.
Right. Right.
I think they should do that.
I don't believe that occurred anywhere, but it was looking... Yeah. The videos were pretty spicy that I was seeing. A lot of action. A lot of yelling and screaming.
Well, the problem is, with this much of an outcry, you know, a lot of people are like, where is Iran? Where is Hezbollah, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, a lot of these countries are also paralyzed with fear that they're going to get nuked to some extent, too. So, like, there's a lot of...
That's a big hump they got to get
over. I don't
over.
Expect that there won't be a war with Hezbollah now. I think that will happen.
Well, we were talking the other day about the lack of a ground invasion means like it's possible they're just de-escalating here, and then this happens. Like, oh, I guess we're not de-escalating.
Yeah,
this is. I mean, if they wanted
de-escalation, if you're a kike, you bomb a hospital.
Well, here's what I
de-escalated.
Think.
Yeah, they are. They do. They have a problem with like empathy, right? Like they can't see that like maybe you shouldn't bomb a hospital if you really are trying to get out of this and like save face and pretend you're still strong. Like, don't do a war crime atrocity. But they're just like, but that's what we do. We just do war crimes atrocities, and we're not doing those. When we're not doing that, make one up for the other side. You know.
That's what makes me think this wasn't like part that this might have actually been like an element. And again, this is all theory selling. I don't know that there was a plan. There was de-escalation plans going on that America and Israel, like essentially America representing optics kikedom, was basically trying to work out deals using American clout and American might on behalf of Israel to get the Arab countries to agree to this, that, and the other, and we'll do this, that, and the other. We'll get this kind of aid. We'll do this. We'll de-escalate this way. We'll pull everyone back from the brink here. And I think that there was kikes who were like, no, we like the brink.
We
want to be on the brink.
Brink is fun.
We're enjoying the brink, and don't take us off the brink. So here, let me bring us back to the brink. Here, let's bomb a hospital. And they just did it. And it might not have actually been part of the overall strategic plan. I think it took America by surprise.
Sure, because America doesn't understand like what a bitch they are. It's like, because in the end, the doing FUD is that's it over. Like the Israel has not lost American support; they never will.
No, they're not going. Israel can just pretend. There's nothing that they could do. They could kill every Palestinian, and it wouldn't be gone. They wouldn't lose American support.
Yeah,
that would increase American support.
No, it would. They would put them in a very.
Like, yeah,
I honestly
right.
just. I don't think. I don't.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Start.
That's just not appealing.
But those boomers are ignored in every other realm in America.
Right.
They don't matter. Like,
well, I was just
going to
say,
the people that like Israel, I'm very excited. I'm sorry. My point here, Alex, is those people, yes, it would increase support amongst retarded senile boomers that love Israel. But those people are totally politically irrelevant. They're not that big of a percentage of the population anymore. They're all dying, and they don't have any power in any sense at all. So
the thing I was going to say is, like, there's no like PR optics war that Israel really has to win in the sense of, do we have America's support?
Right.
Right. The support is what it is. You have total institutional support. Like, yeah, there might be support among the public is waning, and certainly nobody wants. The idea of like a ground war starring America is very unpopular here at the moment.
That is unpopular. Like us going in there, that's the one thing you could see, like, some kind of like bipartisan, like, across the board. Like, we don't really want to do that.
Right. So the only really
nobody wants to do
so
it.
They're too
even
stupid.
Even the bloodthirsty Zio boomers are like, yeah, you know, dropping bombs on hospitals is one thing, but I don't know if I really want to go in there.
So the PR war that they actually are losing, that they're not smart enough to see they're losing, is like, how many provocations does it take before the entire Arab world and whatever allies they have goes, you know what, fuck this. And they, you know, they go in, something really drastic happens. I mean, we're talking like World War III type stuff here. And that's the PR war they have to lose. Right now, like, the Arab world has still been holding back, because it's a pretty dangerous predicament to be like, all right, we're going to take on the state of Israel now. We're finally going to do it. It's been 80 years.
Yeah, it's a
tough
thing, because they've got nukes, and they've also got America behind them. American support is not in question. So, because remember, American support for Israel does not derive from a public demand for such support.
No.
And it never has. The support is
not
there,
even from you fraudulent, fake, pro-white Zionists that want to yell about how we should learn from them, or that they're based because they're fighting brown leaves.
Well,
your support literally doesn't matter to anybody. So I don't know.
Those people are like the senile boomers. Like, they also don't.
You're the most depraved, most looked down upon fucking Zio shill, Shabbos goy that there is.
Well, it's like, if you're a white nationalist, And we already have to deal with all of the propaganda and programming against our position amongst the population. Yeah. And then you go ahead and you as already a white nationalist, then you sort of sign up to be part of like the Israel Internet Defense Force. You're not helping your cause. Like, we have to make the case to other white people that what we want is legitimate, real, valid, and moral and correct. And if you sign up for like Zionist genocide, you're really doing a lot of damage to our ability to make that case to people. So, you know, maybe you should think twice, right, about what it is you're doing. And if you say like, well, and I do want to respond to this, but maybe we'll put that off. Here's my point. The problem they'll have in America is, institutionally, the reason America is unequivocally behind Israel is because these institutions are effectively captured by Jews. Up and down, all the major institutions and levers of power are not just under the sway of Jews, they are Jews that are actually pulling those levers. However, they do need, to some extent, managerial class of people that are going to do the work that they can staff things with, that have been educated and propagandized. The problem they have is that those people in America that they did educate and propagandize to be functionaries in their system have been educated and propagandized to be anti-racist, to be anti-white, and to think that, you know, genociding entire populations of people is wrong. It's bad, because that's what they accuse us of doing and what us of wanting to do. And it's very difficult for those people to make a moral exception to that for Israel, so they run into these problems. Additionally, they're going to have the problem of, if they cross all these moral boundaries that really nobody can justify, and yet America still supports them, it becomes clearer and clearer that the American support of Israel is not based on any kind of demand from the population. And in fact, the population is going to have to think, what's happened to my country? What has happened to my country? How is my country operating like this? Like, nobody likes this. Everyone's against it.
Yeah, but that's democracy.
And yet the government just does it.
That's called democracy. You live in a democracy. That's why.
Right.
You have no support for everything, but Jews just tell your government what to do, and it does it. That's democracy.
But this does seem to be an outcome that Jews are afraid of, because of the amount of population control through media and propaganda that they do.
Yeah.
Right. So they do seem to worry, because I don't want to fall into the thing of saying like Jews never care about what public opinion is or popular opinion. They obviously do, because they spend so much time manipulating it. I think sometimes people saying things like that get very frustrated with their own attempts to counter such things, because it does feel like you're beating your head against a massive edifice. And then you see, but then of course the other problem is when there is popular outrage, or there would be popular outrage about something, then the government is unmovable, unmoved, totally unmoved.
Yep.
And why is that? Well, it's because at the end of the day, Jews are controlling it, and what they hope is to just ride these crises out and just wait for people to settle down, calm down, and just sort of move on with their own lives, and then forget, like, oh yeah, that time when we supported genocide because our country is run by Jews. Well, I guess that, you know, now it's back. Now it's been several months, so I'm back, you know, just doing my own thing. And so this is kind of what they're doing now. This bullshit about Palestine did it to themselves, that is just to ride this out. They're gonna, yeah. And it's FUD. It's FUD to get people arguing about it too. Arguing about it. But what I think happened, I think the reason they did it is because I think that they were doing a de-escalatory. And so, like, they were having Biden go to Israel. Then they were having Biden go to Jordan. He was going to meet with the president of Egypt, the president of Jordan. I think the United Arab Emirates, and then Mahmoud Abbas was going to be there, Palestinian Authority president. And they were all going to sit down and discuss things. And so that leads me to think there was some heavy, heavy diplomacy going on. Some kind of agreements were trying to be reached. They're trying to figure something out. And this would probably have been something that would not have included – that would not have included invading the Gaza Strip. And so there were some Jews that were like, no, we don't want to do that. We want this war. We want the war to continue so we can kill everyone in Gaza. So they did this. Because now what are the Jews going to do? What are they going to do? Because the whole Arab world is now against them. There's no chance. There is no chance of any diplomacy with any Arab country.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
Even those Arab countries which are already effectively under the control of America, like Egypt and Jordan.
It seems like the diplomacy
cannot do.
It's like the diplomacy route they're trying to take is like, all right, where's your next hospital? We'll hit that too. Yeah, right. You know, we're going to hit that next. If you want, oh, you don't want diplomacy? Right. Okay, we're just going to keep until you're all gone. The diplomacy angle they're doing is to clear out the Gaza Strip into Egypt. Really, that's what they want.
Yeah. And then send them to Europe, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Egyptians, because the thing that was going on, just so everyone understands this.
Yeah, these people will be in Europe at the end of the day. That's exactly right. Like, when these people get kicked out, if that happens, if Israel gets what they want, they're going to be in your fucking neighborhoods, Europoors.
Yeah. 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 And that's the idea. And so the idea was get them to Egypt as a temporary measure. They understand the Egyptian government. And this was what they were organizing with, because they understand the Egyptian government isn't going to want to take them permanently because of the political destabilization they will cause in Egypt. Because they will, if the idea is to settle these people in like the Sinai Peninsula, like right, basically right across the border from where they're living now, well, they're still going to be militant. They're not going to be supportive of the present Egyptian government. They're going to be continually fighting Israel still from where they are. They're going to be a problem. And so as a result of that, the Egyptians don't want them. So I guarantee you part of the promises being made to the Egyptians was just temporarily house them in refugee camps in Egypt, and we will get our refugee workers in there, and we will fan them out across the world to different Western countries. This is what they were promising the Egyptian government. You're not going to have to take them permanently. They're not going to be a permanent problem for you. But the Egyptian government's like, no, we've seen how this has played out in the past. Wherever you put them, if you evacuate them all to Egypt, they will set up massive refugee camps will be set up. Those camps will eventually just become cities. These people will become entrenched in that location. They're not going to want to go. This is the thing. These Gazans stay fucking put. They don't want to go. So of all the Arabs in the world that you should support, the ones who are ideologically and racially motivated to stay on the land that Jews are trying to steal from them are the ones you should support if you don't like. Because every migrant to Europe is a race traitor. From the perspective of Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
the Syrian government was telling, and Hezbollah was telling, the Syrians that were taking the humanitarian aid shit to go to Europe, they were trying to stop them. Because they were like, don't you see that you need to stay and fight for Syria? And the ones that left were like, I don't want to fight for Syria. I want to get, like, weed and pussy in Europe.
Yep.
I want PlayStation Buffalo Wild Wings in Europe. I don't want to fight for Syria.
Do they have that in Europe?
So all the are they allowed? What's that?
Are they allowed to have that in Europe? Do they have B-dubs and PlayStation?
Well, they've got something like it. Maybe they got, like, Buffalo Wild Fish and Chips. I don't know. Like,
they have, like, Antwerp wings or something?
Yeah.
So yeah, whatever.
Be English food. Fucking gross. Disgusting.
I want blood sausage and like grime.
I want
the other way is they bring their food.
I want baked
like
beans and blood sausage for breakfast.
Right, like I was watching a British movie last night. One of the characters kept talking about kebabs. You really want a kebab?
We want tzatziki.
What's funny is, like,
and hard style.
The one thing that actually happened
hard base.
When these Middle Easterners went to Britain is they actually improved the food.
Yeah.
They did. Because a lot of people like Middle Eastern food. I'm not a big fan, but that's because I can't eat chickpeas, and so I can't have, like, hummus and stuff. A lot of people like hummus. I'll tell you what. Lamb kebabs are fucking good, and that ground lamb meat that they make, there's one type of kebab where it's like they ground the lamb, like ground beef, and they form it into, like, a sausage thing, and they stick it on a kebab. That's like there was an Afghani restaurant I used to go to that did that. That shit was good. They put it on a bed of yellow rice.
I want a kebab so bad.
I think it was like lamb kafka, they would call it something. I don't know. Anyway, there used to be an Afghani restaurant where you could get, like, chicken,
I want French fries.
Lamb chunks and lamb kafka, and I'd be like, oh, bro,
that's a nice fucking, that's a nice poutine. Fuck all this ethnic shit. Give me some.
It's not even ethnic. It's just meat on a stick. I mean, it's just, like, just good.
Give me my meat on some French fries.
Yeah.
Gravy. Cheese curds. I don't know. Now I'm fucking hungry. It's 11:22. I can't eat yet. Got another, like, hour to go before I can eat something.
Anyway, sorry to talk about all that. But what
I'm going to eat is going to be disappointing. Eat, like, two eggs and a fucking piece of sausage and be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, well.
I just had an egg and sausage for breakfast. It was like, yeah.
I had a cheesesteak yesterday. I don't know why I did that. It's because I was out running a ton of errands, and it was feeding time. I was like, well, what am I going to do when I'm out? Well, I'm going to eat a cheesesteak at this gas station.
Yeah.
Actually really fucking good.
So, yeah, I do think that because, again, what I think Jews don't want to have to deal with in America is a confrontation where, like, everyone in America is basically against Israel, yet America always supports it. And so how do you deal with that? Eventually, you know, having hundreds of millions of people not like what their government is doing, like, does have consequences. Like, that's not just something that, you know, they usually can diffuse it by getting people being like, well, it's Team Blue that's doing that and you don't like them. It's not the whole situation that you don't like. It's just the other party. And then they can, like, pass that buck back and forth.
Yeah, I'm looking at, like, Anthony Cumia's Twitter and, like... Like,
I get sometimes worried about doing that because I'm worried. Like,
well,
it's gonna
I take
be retarded,
him.
But...
I take him as somebody that would be unreliable on this issue, and he's really not willing to be like. He's like not. He's like
not going gung ho Israel.
No, he's not taking sides. He's just doing this. Like, well, war is horrible. He talks about Dresden. It's like, I don't know if he's being, like, really subtle, or if he's just being a dumb American. But he's like, did people think in 1945? Dresden was a hotbed of Nazi party members and soldiers when the UK and USA dropped incendiary bombs, killing 10,000 civilians. Like, he's trying to basically equivocate that. But he's like, you're drawing an equivocation between these two atrocities. It's like, Anthony, what do you mean by that? But it's like, he's not saying... He's not saying it's justified. He's being like, but I understand. Like, a little bit.
Well,
you know?
Here's what I'm doing.
He's saying war is uncivilized. Like, grow up or whatever, a little bit. But he's not even being that forceful with it, so. It's an interesting thing, like, because...
Oh, I see. Well, I see what he's saying.
He's saying...
So is he doing the bit of, like, people crying about this hospital or being pussies or something like that?
He's saying war has to be uncivilized. It has to include atrocities beyond imagination. That's the only way to prevent it or shorten it. It's sad but true. But he's not, like...
That's not even really true, though.
No, but he's not saying, like, oh, fuck these towel heads, Israel, yeah! Because that's, like, 20 years ago, that's what he would have said.
When do we learn to accept that there must always be atrocities in warfare?
Well, that's Jewish.
But
hold on a second.
But the real issue that I would... Well, because of Jews. The real thing I would press back on him is, like, does that prevent it?
Right, no, it doesn't.
Because the other side of what he's saying is... Because maybe, I don't... like, let's forego the argument on whether it always has to include atrocities. The question is, do those atrocities actually prevent more wars? Because in Israel's
case, they don't seem to, right? I don't think they would do that in any case, unless you do successfully genocide your enemy.
He posts a picture of Tony Danza, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. These people are such dicks.
Well, the real lesson of what Anthony is also worried about is that
I didn't want to criticize Anthony and dissect what he said. I'm just saying he's not out there doing the pro-Israeli Trumpism thing. He's not doing that, and I think that's a pretty decent sort of bellwether indicator for what the mood is like.
Well, that's an indicator of what the actual like much larger than the small little weird community of Zio Shill white nationalists, the actual larger community of sort of like, for lack of a better term, like the dirtbag right, which is what Anthony is kind of a part of. You know, the dirtbag right, which is probably a good term of what Anthony is doing, is that and I think Anthony is a little bit in some way worried about – I will analyze him for a second. I think Anthony is a little bit worried about what his audience that's it right there.
We bomb hospitals.
There it is.
Israeli flag.
That's just how it is. That's just
this was
truth,
debunked.
Right? Who's saying this was debunked?
It's just people in the fucking thread, just moron.
Yeah. Anyway, just morons. It wasn't debunked. The people let me explain something. The people out there saying it was debunked just approve of it, but they think it's a bad look to tell people we like when Israel bombs hospitals. That's the fact. Nobody believes it wasn't the Jews. The problem is going out there and saying it was the Jews and it was good is going to make people think you're a lunatic psycho. So people don't want to do that. But they actually don't really care, but they still support the Jews. They don't really care or they like it, and they just still support the Jews. That's just the facts. When they were trying to clutch pearls about the so-called atrocities of Hamas, we actually passed that shit test. We said, we don't care. And additionally, those atrocities were actually fake. But no, we don't actually care. Because the scale of that was like what? You're saying, oh, some unfortunate was like shot or something like that? Like the beheading of babies and the mutilating of people, that's all fake. They didn't do that. They basically shot, they killed people by shooting them. You might have said, hey, some of those people you shot, you shouldn't have shot. Okay, guess what? I don't care. But now you are talking about a deliberate, targeted aerial explosion airstrike meant to kill as many people in a refugee camp, because there was also a tent city set up in the parking lot of that hospital, and to blow up a hospital and just kill all the people in this tent city. That's very different. That is very different. More than 40 people were dismembered by that explosion. So if you go out there and you clutch pearls about dead babies, and then you turn around and you say, well, I don't really care about this, you're obviously a morally depraved lunatic. So here's the problem. Those people want to support it. They think it's okay, and they know it was Israel, but they can't say that. That's a tough position for you to be in. That's a difficult position for you to be in. Also, there's not very many of those people. And it's also like the fact that you know that you can't go out and support it means you know it's wrong. You know that it's wrong. When you lie about something, you know that it is wrong. When you know it happened and you lie about it, you know it's wrong and you know you have to lie because you know what happened was an atrocity. So there you go. Now, another thing I saw from Anthony's account was very early on in the conflict, he said he put out a poll and he said, which side do you support, Israel or Palestine? And everybody was saying, why isn't neither an option? And what Anthony said was, well, yeah, obviously the answer is always neither. But I want to know if you actually had to this is what he said in response to everyone saying neither, 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 neither. As he said, I want to know if we actually had to be forced to take a side, what side you take. And it was like 70-30 Israel. But which is disappointing, but there it is. But the thing is that it's like even the people that chose Israel would have rather chosen nothing, right? So that's the actual sentiment amongst that set of people. And many of the ones saying Israel probably feel like that because for them, they just can't cross that bridge of being like, I actually support an Arab side in one of these conflicts because of all the propaganda, 9/11 and everything like that, right? And I think that's probably why Anthony takes the kinds of sides he does. Is that he probably, and I know this, it's very interesting where he's moved. Because again, yeah, 20 years ago, he would have been like, kill them all. I don't care.
Yeah.
And he's not there anymore. I remember the arguments he was having with Gavin, where Gavin was basically saying, no, like, Jews don't control everything. And Anthony was like, come on. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
And it was like, and Gavin was like desperately trying to avoid the Anthony just being like, nah, dude, it's obvious.
I want to ask Gavin McGinnis, is like, you know, what like upper middle class or like rich white liberal women like did the hospital bombing?
Oh yeah.
Gavin McGinnis likes hospital bombing. Gavin McGinnis that's right, likes to go out there and say, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, Gavin McGinnis would be like, those liberal women are blaming this on Israel when clearly Hamas did it. I guess that's the answer there.
No, I think Gavin McGinnis would be like, Israel did it and you liberal women, you liberal white women are crying, and I think that's funny. That's like far more likely. He's actually a depraved. He's actually completely depraved. Yeah. Hmm.
So
he's a filthy fucking piece of shit. Gavin McGinnis is. I mean, we could go look at what he's saying. He might just be.
He might
understand that people don't like bombing hospitals, so he doesn't want to say that.
He still has a Twitter.
I don't know. Probably not. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Twitter says not Gavin McGinnis. I'm not Gavin. He's banned. He, him. Dude, it's so funny. That's so fucking ironic, bro. This is not Gavin McGinnis. It's not him.
Okay.
His pronouns are he, him, bro.
Okay, so it's not him.
Does well, if I were you, I wouldn't want to take credit for anything. I wouldn't want to take responsibility for anything I've said either if I were Gavin.
I'm assuming that this is Gavin and he thinks this is hilarious because this is the levels of 90s irony.
Well, yeah.
I'm running on.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
So is he saying anything or no? Or is
I don't know. I just got this as far as I got. He retweeted.
I don't really give a shit.
He retweeted Shapiro.
So let's be clear about this. Palestinian terrorists tried to fire a rocket at Israel. It fell short in a hospital, killing hundreds of Palestinian Arabs. Hamas claimed that it was Israel, and the media immediately ran with Hamas' story. Sounds about right. Oh, you're just so persecuted. Oh, will anyone please stand up for the Jews?
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
The media just eviscerates them every chance they get, Benny. You just can't win out there.
Well, there was this Palestinian guy on, what the fuck? What's that asshole? Piers Morgan. Palestinian guy goes on Piers Morgan yesterday. And actually, he was very funny because it's illegal in Britain to basically support Hamas. And at this point, it's basically illegal to not take the Jew side in this conflict. So what he did was like a sarcastic, because basically what he was essentially saying, and it was pretty clear that he was saying this early on, and Piers Morgan was actually thrown off by it. Piers Morgan couldn't actually deal with it, and he kept trying to get the guy to dial it back, and he just wouldn't. He didn't break character on it, and it was good, where he just was doing a... That's good.
Continue your thought.
In New York City. That particular spot in New York City, Palestinian activists have been doing projector stuff on it.
Yeah, it says Israel bombs hospitals. Biden pays for it.
Yeah, because they're that's another problem is that they have activists in the heart of their own fucking enclave in New York that actually do shit like that. It's not just Biden though. I would say you pay for it. We all pay for it. Everyone pays for it. That's the other thing. The Israelis did that with an American munition. We're the ones that make those and send them to them. What that was, just so everyone understands, that was a 2,000-pound JDAM. That was a 2,000-pound guided munition provided by America that blew up just before it hit the ground to cause as much civilian human death as possible. That's what that was. And there's no escaping that that's what that was. The signature of the sound and the explosion are exactly like that. It's not possible to say it's different. With the videos out there, it is impossible to sustain the claim that that was a Palestinian rocket, which if it's lucky can blow up a car if it gets a direct hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if it was specifically a J-dam, but it was obviously not something Gaza fired off. That's just not possible.
Well, that was most likely. I mean, we don't estimates again, between, you could be proven wrong on exactly what it was, but, you know.
I've seen estimates between 600 pounds and 2,000 pounds, so it's something big. Yeah. It's large.
It was
significantly larger than anything that the Gazans could have fired off, which is the important point.
There is no possible munition that they have that can create that kind of
energy. I don't think they have enough thrust to lift something with that capability into the air.
Now, the reason why I kind of insist that it was a JDAM, though, is because that is a JDAMs are guidance kits that are retrofitted to dumb bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And so my view is that this was not even a misfire. This was a guide. This was a target. This was targeted at the location, and it hit the target.
I think it was some sort of conventional airbursting bomb dropped by an F-16 that then darted away after it released the bomb.
Yeah, well, that's what.
Yeah, there's video of it
that's
here.
Exactly. That's right. That's
who
exactly
is this the, fucking?
What,
who is this Jackson
the guidance
Hinkle guy?
On that? The guidance on that type of bomb would be a JDAM kit.
You know who this Jackson Hinkle person is? He's got all kinds of like good shit on this. I don't know if he's.
No, I know he's been very good on this, and it's
like here he's got video. Like these are Hamas missiles being fired in that direction. The hospital's in the middle of the screen, and there's something in the sky. He's saying there's got some kind of jet maybe, and then there's the explosion. So what was that? Is that your
I mean, I don't want to dig too deep into dissecting videos, but you see, there's like a flare that appears to be an afterburner kicking in.
Yeah, that's
as like a dive bombing jet of some sort immediately turned.
Yeah,
and
that's the
away.
Plane that dropped the bomb.
Not even saying it's necessarily dive bomb, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, that plane dropped the bomb. The bomb had a guidance system on it to carry it to its target, and it hit its target.
Oh.
It's fucking obvious.
Now we have sound? Oh. You can hear it. Oh, okay. All right, that's a jet with the afterburner. Now we're just comparing videos to what we just saw. Okay, I mean, I already believe you. But that video establishes the direction that supposed Hamas rockets are going.
I feel like on some level, analyzing this shit is like
going
over the top.
I fucking hate that you have to even analyze this because Jews lie so much. Like, I hate that. I hate that you have to actually.
Stupid. It also, you know what else it is? Is that it's a very internet behavior, and it gets people interested and it lets people do spurgy kind of stuff.
Yeah, because now the question's going to be, well, what specific munition was it? No, that doesn't matter.
It was
matter.
A Jewish
matters,
munition, and
Israel,
it blew up, their enemies, their blood enemies fucking hospital. It's like, they just did it. It's like, just shut up.
Fucking hospital.
You have no room. You have no wiggle. The only reason there's any wiggle room at all
there's
is because
no
Jews own all of these fucking platforms where you talk about it or hear about it. Only fucking
and
discussion.
Basically, even people that are doing that are going to do the both sides bit are like they understand well. Like this guy on this map enjoyer on YouTube, whose video I watched this morning, where I actually was wondering if he was going to come to the right conclusion, and in the end, he said we don't know. And I was like, well, the thing is, I think he was actually doing a tongue in cheek because he showed all the various evidence and just seeing the. Hearing and seeing the explosion from the geolocated verified footage, according to the New York Times, and then comparing that to another – and again, if you're going to do this stuff, comparing that to another footage of an American's unequivocally American bomb doing this, they're identical. The signatures are identical of the two explosions and the sound that it makes and everything, right? So he just shows that, and then he's like, but we don't know. And I'm like, he's probably, in his own mind, like doing the best that he can, keeping his channel. Again, I'm unimpressed with the keeping his channel argument because that's just an excuse to keep lying. The thing is, why do you have to do that to keep your channel? Well, because Jews control the platform. Jews control the platform, and he's afraid if he says the obvious truth. Clearly, from analyzing this, which I don't think that you need to analyze it, all you need to do is see the explosion. Somebody's like, if this is actually Palestinians – this would literally be the most casualties. This would be one of these after thousands upon thousands upon thousands of these rockets have been fired over the last 15 years. They would have killed more in this one than they have entirely in their entire history of being shot. The Palestinians would have killed more with one misfire in their own direction than they have killed after raining thousands upon thousands of these rockets down on Israeli cities over the last 15 years. So, no, it's not credible, period. talk about it more, I think, is really belaboring the point. And frankly, nobody believes it anyway. Well, everybody
they're working
out there
really hard on it. Like, here's this account, Robbie Starbuck. U.S. intelligence confirms Palestinians were behind the blast now.
Yeah, you're lying, Robbie.
The idea Israel killed.
Why would you believe U.S. intelligence?
The idea Israel killed 500 plus people to hospital is complete propaganda from Hamas. Remember that. Never trust the narratives they push to capture your emotional reaction. Or
yeah,
simply
shut up. And,
always
and
confirm
I love
it.
How they
and,
always feel like they
like,
have
here's,
to like
here's,
he's pretend that Jews are persecuted
in, right,
by
he,
the media.
He puts in a screenshot of the updated Wall Street Journal take. U.S. signals intelligence shows Gaza militias behind hospital blast. So like Wall Street Journal has moved their little goalpost. They've moved the ball and Starbucks commentary here. The mainstream media should be absolutely embarrassed of themselves. Nearly all of them ran with Hamas propaganda claiming that Israel bombed the hospital and killed 500 plus innocent people. It was all a lie. Videos and U.S. intelligence confirmed that a failed Palestinian rocket caused the blast. It destroyed the parking lot, not the building, and 500 plus people didn't die. Just pure propaganda, and the media helped Hamas sell that story to the world. Even with the truth coming out now, the damage is already done because their full court press pushing this Hamas lie resulted in at least 1 billion-plus people believing that Israel bombed a hospital and killed 500-plus innocent people. They can't walk that back. So many so-called journalists are just activists happy to spread propaganda for their side, but those who care about
yeah,
real
so
journalism
is,
should look in the mirror,
the
feel shame, and apologize going forward. And I'm a powerful,
this right
extremely
here
online
is
man,
again,
so I wrote liar.
The purpose of Bobby Starbuck and people like him, and he's probably another one of these homosexual models recruited by a Jew to do like Trump MAGA stuff, is to take anger at Trump that the Trump type people feel at the media and journalists and redirect that in Israel's cause when they accidentally trip up and do some accurate reporting that might harm Israel. He then says, well, you can't ever trust journalists because, look, here they are telling the truth about Israel. But it again, because remember, journalists always lie. You can't believe it. The problem, though, for Bobby Starbuck is that the people you're talking to are politically irrelevant. Like, those are the only people that are going to believe that. And I wonder if even all of them do. I mean, I wonder if he's getting any pushback, or is it the other thing is who are the people responding to accounts like Bobby Starbuck? Does he have any real followers, or are they just like fucking? They all just like bots, like Texas vet.
Well,
there's
people doing
emojis.
The
he loves Israel.
People posting the crisis actor bit about whatever press was done after that. Like, oh, was this where all these bodies staged?
Yeah, okay, so these people are just schizo retards. Yep. There's no point in dealing
well,
with them.
I mean,
yeah.
Unfortunately, it's like the average American, yeah. Sadly.
Well, it's unfortunately like the average American who's still involved in that scene is like that. I don't think most people are actually like that. I think that is a particular subset of weirdos and paranoid schizophrenics that still are involved in that shit. But a lot of people have just checked out from it.
It's very sad that like you have this very limited amount of just like video imagery out there that they just point to. See, there's the proof. It's like, no, it's not. Like, your scorched,
well, they don't,
your scorched parking lot doesn't, like, it was a munition that exploded in midair, not on the ground, you fucking idiot.
They don't
a misfired rocket would have hit the fucking ground, not exploded in the air.
You could have shown them. Because, yeah, the Jews doing this no
well,
crater
what I
see shit
interesting
works
here,
in the other
what I,
way,
what I see
too.
Here, what like, I see that's so interesting is that now they're moving with there are not 500 victims. So now they're like, there's no. So now the Palestinians have to suck up. We were just, a war crime was done against us. And not only are they claiming that they didn't do it, but now it's staged and there were no victims. So now, like, the atrocity is being erased by the U.S. media. And that's what they have to do. That's where they have to work from now. I mean, if you don't, and these people just don't
but
see.
Again,
like, don't
though,
you understand
remember,
that the people
though,
that are denying the bombing are the people writing the stories? The New York Times story was a warning, like, ho ho, get on top of this and tell us what to say.
Yeah, these people
and they've
don't
done it.
Actually understand the sophistication of what's going on here. They are dumb. They are dumb, and they're dumb Zio shills. And Bobby Starbuck probably knows he's lying. He doesn't care. He doesn't need.
He's happy
evidence.
To. He's happy to have like I have the permission in a narrative that I can put forth
yes.
now. Thank goodness.
He,
oh, I'm so
yes,
relieved.
Exactly right.
MAGA.
He's simply waiting. Whatever the story would be that they put out, he would accept it uncritically, and that's why it doesn't matter what it is. It's a video with some lights flashing in the air, and mm-hmm. he can then go, well, look, let's analyze it definitively proves. And it's just like, no. It definitively doesn't prove anything.
This explosion videotaped in 2022 proves it.
In order for you to believe that, you have to be really motivated to believe it. And even then, I doubt that you really do. You're just glad that there's an authoritative source that you can refer to.
Exactly.
So you don't have to argue the point. That's how that works.
Why does I want to know? I want to know this, like Robbie Starbuck and all the other like MAGA Republican types. Like, how come you believe the New York Times today but not yesterday? Like, you're saying the New York Times should be ashamed of itself. You don't believe them when they reported the attack.
How come
you buy their story where they changed their headline and changed their narrative? Why do you believe them now? Are they the real news now? I thought they were always fake. No, what's going on?
Here's what I would do with this. If I could challenge one of these people, here's how I would handle it. I wouldn't necessarily even focus in on like this video, that video, lights in the sky, air thrusters, whatever. What I would say to him, I'd be like, listen, you acknowledge this is wrong to do, right? It's clear from what you've said that you think this was wrong. It shouldn't have happened, right? If whoever did this was a criminal, this is a criminal act, right? You agree with this. Okay, he's got to agree with that because it's sort of embedded in what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, okay, so if it could actually be proven that it was Israel, would you say that Israel was a criminal? If it could be proven. And what he's going to do there is he's going to have to be in a very, very difficult position because he already probably knows that Israel did it. So the way to challenge these people is not to say, well, look at these videos, look at this proof. It's to challenge them in the moral dimension of it and be like, okay, it's a criminal act, right? Yes. So if it was proven to be Israel, and I understand this is a hypothetical question right now, but I want to know. If it was proven to be Israel, would you condemn them? Would you say that they're criminals? And would you oppose them for that? And this would then make them be – they would not be able to handle that question because they actually know that there's ample evidence to prove it was Israel. And if they say, yes, I would, they know that the next thing you're going to do is show that evidence. And then they're going to be in a bind. So they're counting on nobody challenging them like that. So that's what I would do to talk to these people. I'd be like, well, so you would condemn Israel, though, right? Like, you agree it's a crime, and it would be bad if it were Israel. Because
What are they going to do in a few days or hours or however long it is before Israel does something else?
Or just right now when I can show them, well,
yeah.
Palestine doesn't have a bomb capable of this size of an explosion, period. So there's no other option than that it was Israel. Unless it was America. There's literally one other possibility. Yeah,
right. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Right. That America shot the bomb. That's the only, which I don't think either. Right? I don't think we did. So it's like, yeah. Because I had guys in the military were telling me, guys that were in Iraq was telling me yesterday, like, dude, when I was in Iraq, he's like, we would take fire from hospitals sometimes. Like, there would be some Iraqi militant in a hospital firing from a hospital room. We were just supposed to retreat. Is if that happened, we were just told just retreat, just mm-hmm. take cover, retreat. You don't engage a hospital, period, no matter what. So there you go. So his point was like, even if there was all Hamas fighters in that hospital, and even if they had a bunch of machine guns and bombs in the hospital, like you still had to let them get away with it, even though that probably wasn't even true.
Well, they have rules of engagement.
Well, the rules of engagement are the Palestinians are supposed to put all their military apparatus and everything is supposed to be in like clearly marked areas where the Israelites
can find
them.
Places
where
like open fields where with like an X, a target right on top. So
you have to know where they
are. Just come and hit it, right? Yeah.
It's like the Israelites be like, these Hamas people, they're using our hostages as human shields. Very tiresome.
The other thing for Americans in like places like Baghdad and stuff is like, yeah, if some Iraqi militant is like shooting at you from it's not actually a threat. So you can just take cover behind your Humvee and just like wait it out. It's like that's not really what's like no troops were even like killed or injured in that way, so it's like they don't really have to do anything. And you can't just like blow up a hospital.
No.
Now this was once it hit the occupation phase. In the initial assault, they were just blowing shit up. They were just knocking down buildings and blowing shit up. But anyway, So I don't know. I mean, that's how I would challenge these type of people. And again, it's like you just have to hit them. where, you know, it's funny because if you have to blame the Gazans, if you have to blame the Palestinians, then you know what's wrong. You know what's wrong. Everyone knows it's wrong. So what do you do now? So the thing is, though, what Bobby Starbuck, there's one thing that he was saying that was correct, which is that, like, however, it wasn't because of anything the New York Times did. Okay, the New York Times is not the reason for this. He is correct, though, that everyone around the world hates Israel even more than they already did now.
Hmm.
And only in America and maybe in, like, Britain and a few other complete – and I don't even think in most European countries the media is actually capable of getting people to think this dumb thing. But it's like, what does it really matter if you fool a bunch of politically irrelevant losers in America into thinking this? What does that matter? It doesn't really help, because the people that they need to worry about believing this are in places like Iran and Russia. The Russians are not going to believe this. And the Russians have been slowly escalating their rhetoric against Israel and America as this crisis has been going on. And the Chinese, they're not going to believe this. And they're not going to, in their media apparatus, which reaches millions of people, billions of people, they're not going to promote that narrative. The Arab world is not going, even in the countries that are allied to, America, that take money from America, Egypt and Jordan, among others, even Turkey, right? Another country that we subsidize heavily. The Turkish media is not saying this was actually Palestine. The Egyptian media is not saying that. The Jordanian media is not saying that. They're all just saying, no, this is Israel. It's obviously Israel. They did war crime, killed hundreds of people. So,
Anyway, the thing I wanted to get to was, I don't know if anybody's thought about this. Janet Yellen is trying to say that we could fight a two-front war in Israel. Which now I know historically the United States military has been kind of designed to do that. I don't think they've been actually capable of it for the last 10 years, but that's been like the mission of the military in terms of like defense spending and all that. But
this is funny. So the story you sent me, in an exclusive interview, Janet Yellen urges Republicans to appoint a new House speaker to enable greater financial support to be agreed for both Israel and Ukraine. So I guess the House holds the purse right now, but nobody's holding the House, so they can't send money.
Well, they've got a bill that they want passed, which is $100 billion to Israel and Ukraine. And they tried to elect Jim Jordan yesterday, and he was not elected.
Right.
They had a ballot, and Jim Jordan was not elected. But the thing is, here's what's funny. Obviously, on some level, this might not really matter that much, because it doesn't seem to stop what we've already been doing. Like, but again, what they'll do is, if I guess they don't have the money yet, they'll just, here, Israel, here's more just of our weapons. Because the president doesn't need money to take weapon stores that we already have and just give them to the Jews. Let's put them on a C-130 and fly them over there. You can just do that. You can just order that, which they've been doing, which they have been doing. They have landed several big, massive U.S. military cargo planes in airports in Israel filled with bombs to give to them. Because Israel's actually spending their bombs at a massive fucking rate. They are depleting their storage.
So if the question
you drop
I've
a thousand
got,
of these a day, you are seriously... Yeah, what's up?
Let's say that the United States could afford to fight for Israel and fight the Ukraine at the same time. Maybe they could. Maybe there is two-front involvement there. Can they take a third front? What if China decides they want to take Taiwan? Can they do that? Probably not.
Probably not. The thing is, I don't actually think China really wants to do that. Like, that's kind of one of my things. It's sort of like all the stuff about China and Taiwan. It's like, I think China's strategy with Taiwan is like not to go and take it militarily. I think it's a much slower approach because it's like, I don't, but again, and the only reason for them to do it would be to sort of like call this bluff, which of course, those of us who want to see the American empire fail are very interested in them doing, but that might not be what they want to do, you know? So, and that's another thing is like, you know, these huge countries, like, yeah, they do seem to be coalescing into some kind of an alliance and countering America, but they also have to be very careful because America is still pretty powerful and you know, they've got to be careful about how they do it. They can't just go like, all right, we're all in, let's go, let's destroy the world and take down the Zog Empire. Like, yes, I understand why people here like that, and I would like that, but it's not. That's actually quite a dicey proposition. And in some ways, yeah. You know, I had serious thing. I have anxiety whenever these conflicts kick up around Israel, because as much as I want that country destroyed, they are lunatics and they have nuclear weapons.
And a lot of other resources beyond those. They just they have so much to work with to get things done.
And they do not care about non-Jewish human life. They don't.
No,
they are willing to follow their fucking Bronze Age pervert they're literally Bronze Age perverse morality, which is like, we kill everyone who isn't us, and our God told us that that's okay, that that's the right thing to do. In fact, sometimes when we fail to do that, God gets mad at us. I mean, that's basically the lesson of a Jewish morality, is there's stories in their Bible where it says like, oh, we actually accidentally didn't kill every member of the opposing tribe, and we were like gravely punished by God for that. And so, you know, that's probably actually like a story about how a time when a tribe they didn't kill every member of came back and like killed a bunch of them. And so they're like, see, that's what happens. You know, we don't kill them all. They come back and kill us. And like, that's the way that like literal inbred retards like Itamar Ben-Gvir think. And that's why, you know, this whole conflict could have been avoided in Israel if people like that weren't given power, as I explained last show, how giving those morons power actually significantly generated this problem that they're having right now. Whether America, but the other thing is the problem they're having, though, is not just a matter of funding. It's a matter of actual physical material resources. Mm-hmm. And right now what Ukraine needs are 155 millimeter artillery shells, which is, I think, the ones that's what the Americans use. And they don't have them. They don't have enough. Ukraine's rate of expenditure of artillery is like 1/10 of what the Russians is. And this is why on all fronts, the Ukrainian lines are collapsing. And the Russian and of course, you know, they thought that they could put the whole theory of the Ukrainian offensive was, we get a bunch of tanks, a bunch of armored vehicles, a bunch of stuff from the NATO countries, empty out these supplies of this shit in Europe, send it to Ukraine, and they're going to go all out at one part of the front, and they're going to cut a swath between the Russian, you know, right down the middle of the Russian held territory. Cut a swath to the Azov Sea, and then like further, like hold that and then develop it, cut the Russians in half, like fuck up their logistics, fuck up their supply lines, and cause massive chaos amongst them and blah, blah. And none of it worked. It failed. They threw themselves against a brick wall for 4 months. They expended all that gear. They expended thousands, tens of thousands of human lives, and nothing worked. And the Russians are like, yeah, LOL, nice try. And they're not actually, you know, there's been a lot of theories, people saying the Russians are going to go on the advance. They really haven't. And they have gone on a small advance. They've taken back small little pieces of territory here and there. But they don't need to go and do a massive offensive, because they can just be like, you want to come at us again? Because the same thing will happen again. Until Ukraine is literally out of shit. And then they'll be like, okay, now we're just going to waltz across the rest of the country because you don't have an army anymore. That's the Russian strategy. It's obvious that's their strategy. They don't need to risk their men and machines by going on the offensive, going on the attack, because why? Let their Ukrainians just smash their face into a brick wall again and again. The Russians aren't in any hurry. And so that's what their strategy is, and that's a difficult strategy for America to defeat, and it gets even more difficult when they also have to fund Israel, and they have to fund and arm Israel. It's just a big problem. So in terms of where America can fight, I don't think the American military could fight a one front war against an actual adversary that can fight back. Like America could go and take out like a third world country with barely an army, like Iraq. Mm-hmm. And the American military was significantly better in those days than it is today. Could we fight? Could we fight? Like, assuming, again, I know we shouldn't make this assumption, assuming like nukes are off the table, could we fight a conventional war with Russia or Iran? I don't think so. Certainly not Russia. Russia would beat us. They have a better army. They have a larger and a more trained army and their weapons, the kind of weapons they have.
Oh, no.
And they also have nukes. The kind of weapons they have are, like, equal to the kind of weapons we have. And their army is more experienced because of the fighting in Ukraine.
I can sense the autism assault you just unleashed.
Well, I'm just saying what I think. And people can be mad and get upset and disagree with it. And, oh, yeah, now everyone's going to war game us versus Russia. Like, whatever. Well, the point is, if we could beat them, why don't we just go attack them?
Oh, God.
Because that would actually be stupid as fuck.
No, I understand that, but America's stupid as fuck. But my point is that... Well, but
we would lose too.
That's my point. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We would lose. We would lose. And look,
braver men have tried.
The quality. Well, the Ukrainians, frankly, are braver men. Like, I'll say, like, the fucking Ukrainian military is better than America. They actually have people willing to fight, and those people are good soldiers. Like, as much, whatever I think about the political situation, nobody can question, like, the actual bravery of the Ukrainian soldiers. Like, that shit is wild to go and do what they've done. That's crazy. Nobody in America is like that. You think the fucking mixed race tranny queer mulatto army we have would be half of what the fucking Ukrainians have done?
I saw they were passing around another one of those videos yesterday of asking a bunch of soldiers, like, why'd you join up? And they're all just like, I don't know, money. It's all like this. Yeah. It's all like mulatto women.
Yeah, no, it's a bunch of fucking mixed race queers and like weird tranny faggots and people that have mental illnesses that are on all kinds of drugs.
And they just want like a free college education and a job for a few years. Like, get out of their parents' hair or something. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm telling you, if there's a chance of an actual war against an enemy that can inflict damage, the recruiting will dry up even more. Like, I think that right now, if people understand, hey, you know, there's a real chance of going to war with a country like Iran, and that would most likely draw in other actors, like potentially even Russia, in which the high likelihood, if you go and fight for America, you get killed or fucked up. Well, guess what? Those recruiting offices are going to be like... it's going to be like fucking, you know, tumbleweeds are going to be like blowing across the sidewalk in front of the recruiting office. You know, like nobody is going to be there. Nobody's going to be there. We're talking about like starting to protest at recruiting offices if a war kicks off to try and dissuade people from going and signing up. I'm like, yeah, we'll probably do that. But like, will we even have to? Like, nobody will be there to see us. Like, there won't be any crowds there, you know? But yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah.
What is this shit about these American missiles that have been supplied to Ukraine?
Attack-ems?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Army Tactical Combat System or something like that. I don't know exactly what to call it. Those are short range. Those are, well, they're relatively long range ballistic or cruise missiles or something. And the thing is, Ukraine had a bunch of these before.
If you're hearing this, then you're only getting half the show. Did you know that therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded? Thanks to this censorship machine, this project can only be sustained by listeners like you, by supporters like you. So why don't you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall and show the powers that be that they can't silence the most silenced.
For supplied by the British, which are a much cooler name. They call them like Storm Shadows. But they're effectively
like
the same.
G.I. Joe, yeah.
Yeah, they're now, before the autism goes unleashed, they're not the same missile. However, from a strategic or tactical perspective, they fill the same function, which is, I guess, what you'd call a medium-range missile. It can go about 300 kilometers. So you can strike, you can shoot them and hit and cause big explosions inside the enemy territories.
Blast.
And the problem is, with Storm Shadows, and the idea with the Storm Shadows is that the Russian air defense can't defeat them. It's not true. If there's one thing the Russians have that's actually superior to probably any country on Earth, including America, is air defense. Because America, given our position in the world, doesn't bother with air defense. Why would we? It's not that relevant because we are literally two oceans away from everybody, and the countries on either side are allies or can't fight us.
Right.
So we don't need to have a sophisticated air defense. The Russians do, and the Russians have the most sophisticated air defense systems in the world. And these medium range missiles, sure, they can do some damage, but they're not a game changer for Ukraine. Like, they'll probably Ukrainians get some hits in.
It's just another prolonger.
But
I mean, that's
yeah,
what,
it's just another way to drag it out. It's not going to change. It's not going to mean it's not. They're not going to win if they they might not even send them.
They still just believe that we're going to take Russia down through like attrition over a long period of time. I mean, that was the original plan,
no,
right?
The opposite is happening.
Yeah,
I mean, that works both ways. That works two ways. And the problem is that the Russian military-industrial complex is much more geared towards manufacturing the kinds of things that are actually being used in the war, where our military-industrial complex is geared towards huge, expensive boondoggles on high-tech shit. And even the high-tech shit the Russians develop is something like, yeah, sophisticated air defense system. America doesn't do that. America's like, let's make like an F, I don't know, what's the next, F-35. Like, yeah, the F-35 was a boondoggle, but apparently now F-35s are in regular production. And what's that doing for anybody?
Well, the guy taking a shave saw one crash somewhere. That's how it's been going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I was imagining taking a shave.
It was like, I was taking a shave. I was taking a shave, and I heard like,
boil peanuts. I was boiling peanuts in the toilet. Well, let's take a quick break.
I got to go take a shave. Speaking of,
wonderful.
Take a shave.
I'm gonna go have some eggs. Something, I don't know. All that food talk before.
Starve.
Try to find some falafel. I don't know, what else can we eat? Some shawarma.
Dude, I think attack-em.
Attack-em.
Attack-em means Army Tactical Missile System.
Attack-em olem.
No. Yeah, oh man.
Oh.
Attack-em olem. Very good. Yeah,
slow burner right there. You got it though, right? All right. Yeah. We shall return.
You are listening to the Daily Sowa.